Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the second of the Gospel readings. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. But let's start out way back, right at the beginning, with the words of God and what God said about Adam and Eve. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them rule over. And so on and so on and so on. And God breathed into the man's nostrils, and he became a living being. And God took one of the ribs from the man while he slept and formed it into a woman and brought her to the man. And in that image of God, there is raising us up by a God who loves, honoring, exalting, calling us his own children, made in his image. And now set those words and that whole idea side by side. On the other hand, there's the plans of the devil to tear down, to destroy, to degrade, to debase. And the devil schemes and plots and lures first Eve and then Adam into sin, urging to sin, teaching us to believe now that human beings are not God's special creation, but have to seize what they want. Teaching in our day that human beings are nothing more than smart animals. Urging and suggesting that the weak and the helpless are disposable. And in disposing of the weak and the helpless, then urging human beings to do so in more and more degrading ways. So we are lured, deceived, seduced into sin, and from the sin to shame, and from sin and shame then to destruction. And this is all about sin. So second, there are different types of sin. Some of you know this from confirmation class. There are sins of commission, things you did that you shouldn't have, things of omission, sins where you should have done something and didn't. There's secret sins and unknown sins, and then troubling in this list, there are national sins that a nation and a people can wander into a sin and call down God's judgment on them. Who was it? I have to look this up. Who was it that said, I fear for my country when I consider that God is a just God? And then there are the nagging sins, the sins you try and shake, but you can't quite. And there are the tormenting sins, the sins that torment, that bug the conscience, that get in there and you say to yourself, how can God forgive that one? The others and the sins of other people he can forgive, but that sin, I don't know. And so we stand as guilty before God, whether by commission or omission, whether by silence, whether by acquiescence, whether by national sins, or sins that bother and won't let us go. And God calls on his people to repent. And God calls on his people to speak of repentance before the world. As we go about that, it's not enough to talk about sin. Not enough to talk in a way that terrifies the conscience. There has to be hope. And we have to invite and we have to call people to hope. And so we start asking the question, so how does salvation come into the world? There's a little fact I learned many years ago. In Korea, you know when they celebrate a child's first birthday? They celebrate when that child is 3 months old. Why? Ah, yeah. There's the other 9 months when the child is there in this world, but not yet visible. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, how long had he already been in the world? This is a part of Christmas that we sometimes gloss over because we're so wrapped up in the manger and the stable and the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem. But it's similar to asking the question, when did Jesus begin his ministry? Did he begin his ministry at the baptism of John? And from that time he went about and started to preach the gospel? No. How about when he was 12 years old and in the temple? He was doing his ministry, wasn't he? How about when he was born? Carried to the temple, and Simeon rejoices to see him. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. But there's one other incident, and that is the content of the second gospel lesson. Did you notice? Jesus, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, comes into the world, and things happen. John leaps in the womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. And Elizabeth starts speaking out, prophesying, and telling who this child is. What amazing things. The baby in my womb leaped for joy, she says. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that she is accurate. This was not just John the Baptist kicking around and moving around within the womb. This was leaping for joy. Celebration that Jesus is there. This happens to be my favorite verse in answering the question whether infants should be baptized, whether infants can be baptized, whether infants can have faith. Did John the Baptist have faith on that day? Yeah. Responded to Jesus Christ. And did you notice this? That the first reaching out and evangelizing that Jesus does coming into the world, John the Baptist is 6 months along out of the 9 months of pregnancy of Elizabeth. He's still in the womb. And Jesus is how old? 1 week along, 2 weeks along, 3 weeks along, something like that? Could Mary even have felt him within the womb? And yet, in that tiny state, Jesus, still God, Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, at that early stage begins his work of calling into his kingdom, gathering into his kingdom in order to put together that great multitude that the book of Revelation talks about, that great multitude singing and celebrating for all eternity. Why does this happen? The psalm says, in order to silence the foe and the avenger, God brings forth praise from the mouths of little infants. Jesus quoted that verse on Palm Sunday when he was in the temple and the children were in the temple and they were making noise. And the Pharisees and the teachers said, "Tell them to be quiet. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have brought forth praise?" That's the part quoted in Matthew. The second part of the verse is, "To silence the foe and the avenger, to silence the devil." And so Jesus gathers the helpless, he gathers the weak, he gathers the little into his kingdom. He gathers John the Baptist into his kingdom before John the Baptist is even born. First work of evangelism. And this means more to me in the whole business of right to life, this, than any of the verses that say you shall not murder. This verse that talks about Jesus, still within his mother's womb, still a mere few weeks along, doing the work of God. Well, it means that John the Baptist is able to relate to somebody else while he's in the womb. He responds. There's a back and forth. It means that John the Baptist is able to know God within the womb. For us, it means that as Jesus comes along, comes among us, he begins to gather all nations. He begins with the smallest, the most helpless. He begins his preaching there that day in Elizabeth's home. And John the Baptist then begins his preaching that day also. The only way a little child not yet born can, by leaping for joy. It's part of our honoring of that part of the life of Jesus that we care about and welcome the little ones. Jesus gathers his church. He calls us. And then there's more. There is more, because this invitation is not only to the little and the innocent. It's also to those who have wandered off from God, to those who are guilty, to those who have terrible sins on their conscience, to those who would shrink back from God, not quite sure how to approach Him, being afraid that their sins have forever separated them and that there is no way back. As Jesus gathers His church, He calls sinners. What kind of sinners? Every kind you can imagine. We could put up a sign out there that said, "Wanted sinners, all kinds, inquire within." Couldn't we? Would it be accurate? Yeah. He calls the thief on the cross, Paul, who murdered Christians. He calls many who have wandered off from God into an immoral life. He calls those who have done horrible things in this world. He still calls. He calls sinners of every kind. And then Paul comes along and says, "Of whom I am the chief. Chief of sinners though I be." Didn't we just sing that? Started out with that? Why? Why is this? First answer, because of the incredible, inclusive, far-reaching forgiveness of God that is in Jesus Christ, because there is no distance so far from God that He will not call and call again and beckon and invite. No matter how far we have gotten from Him, He still calls and sincerely wants us to be in His kingdom and to live forever with Him. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness for a whole world of sins. But not a light and an easy forgiveness. It's forgiveness that had to be carried and borne, hauled out to a hill outside of Jerusalem. It's a forgiveness that had to be earned with nails and blood and a spear. Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. First answer. Second answer, how can that be? Well, it is because God is determined that His grace will be all-conquering. That what is given to us in Jesus Christ is sufficient for all. And so He invites us. And He invites every human being out there in the world to know His love and His mercy. In Jesus' name.